Welcome to Season 2 of the Triple Existential Podcast. I'm your host, Ebi Cote-Nord.
The Silent Violin. You've given me something special, a reason to live. His eyes, glassy and bloodshot from being day drunk, fill with water as we stand in his condo's parking garage. I say nothing and brush his lashes with my thumb. Then I run the backs of my fingers down his face, pausing over cheekbones that are too high and too wide for a man so frail. He smiles and cries. The valet arrives with my car. The man kisses my hand and places a $200 tip into it. I kiss him goodbye. It's hard to forget being someone's reason to live. He forgot. Or maybe he needed a better reason. Or maybe I just wasn't reason enough, or maybe he lied. Lying comes easy to men like him. After his first bottle of morning wine, he always confessed to me that he was once a lawyer. He would tell me he hated it, how he found the profession unsavory and cruel, and he hated the person he had to be when he practiced law. He didn't hate it enough to stop him from making him a millionaire in his 40s, and he didn't hate it enough not to still practice law as a hobby in his 70s. He sips his way through another half bottle while we sit at the table overlooking the harbor 30 floors beneath us. A decorative red envelope with my 2-hour fee still sits on the placemat next to my elbow. I play the violin, he says. I love it. I play several hours a day. He tells me he finished his private lessons shortly before I arrived. It might be unfair of me to assume that this is a lie, but I do anyway. He drinks too much to be telling the truth. He can't hold a violin while shaking in the morning. He can't wield a bow after drinking enough to stop shaking. You should play for me sometime, I say with a smile. I don't want him to know that I know he never will. I just want to indulge his fantasy. If I can't pretend to find him fascinating, I have no business being here. I'm here to make him feel loved and wanted. I want to hear you play. I actually did want to hear him play. He was a man who strove for excellence in every area of his life. If he were able to play, he would be extraordinary. I wanted to hear that version of him play the violin, the version of him he thought he was when he opened his third bottle of wine at 2 p.m. At 2 p.m., I was his reason to live. It was the one time I believed him. It was the moment I felt an authentic love for him. I held it sacred that I was his reason to live. But, like the violin, I was nothing more than a fantasy to him. Something he drank too much to be able to hold on to. Hi, welcome to the Triple Existential Podcast with Ebi Cote-Nord. I'm Ebi Cote-Nord.
And I'm Charlie, back again. A bad penny.
A bad penny?
I keep turning up.
A bad penny?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You never heard that phrase? I'm like a bad penny, I keep turning up.
No.
So sometimes I think that being raised in the South is sort of like being raised way back in time, like with weird phrases.
I just kind of think that all pennies are the same.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Like, you can't be a bad penny or a good penny. Like, they're all pennies.
They're all just pennies. I mean, that's fair.
And how do you tell the difference?
Well, the bad penny keeps turning up.
But how do you know it's the bad penny and not a different penny?
I was just trying to make a joke about the fact that you had all your guest hosts and now I'm back and I'm awesome. But I'm also like a bad penny. I keep turning up, even if you get other people to come host.
Yeah, but you're in the business and you're worth more than a penny now.
That's true. You're my mentor now.
Yeah, you are an escort.
I got lured in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you are like a penny is like.
That's too low.
That is too low. That's not even going to get like a minute of your time, is it?
No, it's not.
I can't do the math because I'm a hooker, but. And I didn't get into this business because I was good at math.
Hey, I got into this business and technically I'm supposed to be good at math.
Well, yeah, but like I was like, I want to do something that doesn't involve math.
And I said, I can do the math. This business is more lucrative than my last one.
Yeah. I mean, that was as much math as I could do. Like, Oh, I'm not good at anything. And that is not a valuable skill. And the math is that, like, I don't have to be good at much to be good at a hooker.
Actually, though, I mean, what's interesting is that in, like, all the stuff that you've been, like, mentoring me on, I mean, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of these, like, little details that I would never have thought of. It's really, I mean, obviously we've been talking about it on the podcast for a really long time, but there's, like, little things that I've been popping up being, like, I'm doing my SEO strategy for my website, like, what do I need to keep in mind, and like, how do I respond to this on my Twitter feed? And you're like, it's like, oh, you're a font of knowledge. It's actually, I think you're underselling the amount of like tacit knowledge you have to have.
I also underestimated how much math was involved.
Yeah, you have spreadsheets.
I have spreadsheets
now that you are like an executive.
Yeah,
you're an executive level escort.
I am.
Yeah.
Which is funny because like I hired years ago an assistant because I was like, I don't want to have to do all this administrative shit. And now she handles all my administrative shit. And then I have other administrative shit that I have to handle. And also you assist me on all this other administrative shit. Like I have a full-time and a half job that I'm managing. And according to the math, I'm not making enough money.
Well, also, I mean, that is the thing that pushed me over to just being like, I should just do this for a living.
Because you're doing like all of the administrative work, but like not the butt fucking. So you might as well just like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get into the butt fucking.
Yeah. And I figure, you know, my butt is an asset. I don't want to do the anal part because I don't want to impinge on anyone's royal territory.
You can't say my butt is an asset and then be like, but no anal.
Oh, I'm not no anal.
Oh, you're just not like the anal queen of Chicago.
No, I'm a like... lowly serf. I'm a lowly serf. You know, not even the heir presumptive. There's so many people between me and the line of succession on that
one.
Yeah,
there's. Yeah. I have not named an heir apparent.
You have not. You have not named an heir apparent. But like, speaking of anal, so you're back at school.
I am.
That was an elegant segue. Didn't
you? That was. Yeah, I am back at school. I am back at school. Yeah. I am trying. Now I have math again. I have to figure out how much anal I have to sell to pay for tuition because I am.
Paying for tuition. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is, yeah, I got like super ambitious earlier this year during COVID and was like, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to go to Stanford. And so I enrolled at Stanford.
And now you do writing.
And now I write at Stanford. And I, yeah, that's, you know,
That's a real thing.
That is a real thing.
I also would like to say that you're a phenomenal student, I happen to know. Because I heard about your grades.
Oh.
So you're like, you know, anal queen of Chicago, cum laude, or whatever that fancy Latin word is for like awesome, good at school.
Come loudly or something.
Come loudly. Also, I do want to see the like standardized test that has as a word problem. Your semester's tuition is X dollars. You get paid Y dollars per hour for anal. Write the equation that will tell you how many hours of anal you must do to pay your tuition.
Yeah.
I just want to see that on a standardized test.
Yeah, I think that they just charge like 1 hour of anal per semester hour. Or yeah.
Oh, that'd be yeah. That would be really helpful.
That would be like.
Can you just do that directly with the dean, and then they just be like, you just go to the dean and be like,
how many credit hours? Like, okay, this is 3 credit hours, so I need 3 clients.
Well, I just mean, can you just do it with the dean or the professor, and then you just?
They don't do that. They don't. I think people like way overestimate like how valuable people think that women exchanging sex in like other areas of other markets like are, and like how respected women are for like having sex for favors and money.
No, I know that it's not actually respected. I was just kind of hoping that maybe they had like a work study.
Yeah, there's not, you can't actually get promoted. You can't actually sleep your way to the top. You can't actually be a good student by having sex with your superiors. Like, it's not, yeah, it's not an upwardly mobile.
You mean that all of those things that the people were screaming about are not true?
It's not true. Oh yeah. God. Yeah, you can. Like, I've had sex with enough wealthy men to know that, like, I'm not getting anywhere in their fields. I am not suddenly, like, a respected venture capitalist.
I mean, your rabbit's a lawyer, but you're not.
Yeah, that's true. Our rabbit's cover story. I don't think she's actually a lawyer, but she claims to be.
Yeah.
We sound like weirdos.
Do we?
Yeah. Like, oh, my rabbit's a lawyer.
Okay. That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. People are not privy to like our weird inside jokes in our house about our pets.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah. Okay. So back up.
No, you know what? Let's just like leave it in. And those people are like, the rabbit's a lawyer.
Okay.
Maybe we'll revisit this. Maybe this like maybe it was a different maybe like they'll go back and like download all these other episodes trying to get like the backstory on like how the rabbit is a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
We'll just get more listeners.
Yeah, true, true. That's
and then really we'll never, story. Never talk about it. Maybe again. Let's have like an empty like audio file about like, oh, Nala is a lawyer. And it's just like a 55-minute like
blank
episode.
Yeah, it's like performance art or something. It's an installation.
Yeah,
it's conceptual. But no, the reality is that the other thing they could think is that those bitches have been on lockdown too long.
Yeah, there's also that. Like, yeah. We're gonna get a wellness visit.
Yeah, we could get a wellness visit. We'll be like, we're here to check on you and your roommate. We'll be like, fuck you pigs, we already have a lawyer.
yeah They can just enter during a wellness visit and damn like it. The lawyer can't, the lawyer rabbit can't actually do much. Also, I don't think she's licensed to practice outside of the kitchen.
Not licensed. She's definitely not licensed to practice in this country.
No.
No, yes. Okay, so we haven't been locked up too long. We know our rabbit's not really a lawyer.
I think we've been locked up too long.
Well, those could both be true. We know our rabbit's not a lawyer, and we've been locked up too long. But I mean, before, like, we continue to have, like, this awesome conversation that everyone wants to listen to for the rest of time, because it's riveting, to me, I did want to talk about your piece.
Oh, that. So my rabbit's a lawyer. And so is my client in the piece.
Yeah, your client in the piece is a lawyer. He is a lawyer.
But he's not a rabbit.
But he's not a rabbit, which is probably why he was allowed to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
To begin with.
Yeah.
But he is a really sad character.
He's so sad.
He's so sad. And I mean, as you can, I mean, it's the sense I get from reading the piece, and maybe like and other listeners get from, like, you know, listening to the piece. I mean, he dies, or you assume he dies.
Yeah, I mean, he's, yeah, like, I was never, like, alerted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the last time I saw him, the last thing he said to me was that I gave him a reason to live. And I guess a reason to live wasn't enough to keep living.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not, like, the first time you've had a similar experience in your work, though, of losing a client.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, like, you know, they just kind of, like, disappear. And you're like, oh, I wonder what happened. And sometimes you can get confirmation that they passed, and sometimes you don't get confirmation that they passed. You know, sometimes you just never find out.
Yeah.
You just don't know where they go.
Yeah, so there's, like, this, like, that's one of the, I remember it was so long ago that we had this conversation where you were talking about sometimes providers just, you don't hear from them anymore. And you don't know what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know. But also that can be true for your clients. And that's, like, you don't reach out to them. That's a part of the deal.
Right.
You don't follow up on them. That's a part of the deal. You don't, like, you don't, you know, and so that there's that uncertainty about where the story goes. Mm-hmm. And which I think is actually captured really beautifully in how you wrote the story, which is, like, it's kind of the implication without the overtly stated part, you know, is that, like, there's this nature of the business in which, like, there are a lot of stories that are kind of
open-ended,
left hanging, you know. And so you have this client that, you know, kind of has, there's an assumption that a man in his 70s who drinks that heavily and then you never hear from him again is probably not around anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also that, you know, but also you have other clients, if they stop contacting you, maybe they got like, don't need to see you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that's also happened that, you know, there was a client in his 50s who took excellent care of himself. Like, the last time I saw him, he was talking about hot yoga, and he just kind of disappeared. And then I find out he was gone, you know? And then there's other clients that I assumed had passed away, and it turned out they just got married and had babies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
just randomly find out. That did just happen.
It just happened. Like, I assumed that somebody who, you know, drank a lot, mm-hmm. didn't take very good care of himself, was very lonely, very isolated. I hadn't heard from him in quite a while, and I assumed he didn't survive COVID, and apparently he's thriving with a wife and a baby, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually something about,
I mean, like, I do kind of hope that, like, the marriage, like, turns and, like, you know, he starts seeing me again, because, like, you know, I got bills to pay.
Intuition.
And, like, being like, yeah, like, one of those bills is tuition. So, like, being, like, happily married in a sexually fulfilling relationship is, like, super bad for me. Like, just, like, be worse at being, like, don't try so hard at being a wife. Like, you can outsource some of that shit.
Like,
help a sister out. You know, yeah. This is like the
charity. I'm here to help.
Yeah.
I'm here to help. Just get your rest. You've got a baby. Sleep. Sleep.
It takes a village.
It does take a village. Stop trying to have it all. Like, you just give yourself a break. You can't be Superwoman.
Take a ride on the bus. What was that thing with the bus?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That there's, like, a service that it's a party bus. There was a tweet that we saw. It was, like, a party bus, but it's for exhausted moms and just drives around while you nap and listen to true crime podcasts and nobody contacts you or asks you for anything.
Yeah, yeah. This is sort of like that.
It is like that. Except for instead of a party bus, you're still stuck at home with the baby. But like nobody's pawing at you asking you for anal because they're getting it, goddammit. They're getting it.
They're getting it. They're getting it from somewhere else.
From someone. Yeah. I'm here for you. Like, don't think I'm just here for, like, husbands. I'm here. I'm really here for the wives.
Really? Yes.
I'm really here for the wives.
I'm ready for you. I'm waiting for you to be, like, beatified any day, really.
Yeah.
Like, Saint E.B., Chicago Queen of Anal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that saint card would look like?
I am, like, the patron saint of, like, anal queens.
Yes. Patron saint of all anal queens everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, so.
This just gets like into a really problematic like conversation with the Catholic Church, but.
It does.
Yeah. It like does. It's complicated. It's complicated. Like you guys aren't that against anal.
Yeah. Not against it enough, frankly.
Yeah.
And
yet. You weirdly are. Like, let's just. I'm here for the Catholics and I'm here for the wives.
I'm here for you both.
And I'm here for priests. We know that.
That's right. That's right. And they're here for you.
They are. And I want to thank.
That would be episode Strand of Hair. Go back in time and download it.
You also. No, we haven't gone to the origin story of the priest, have we?
Uh-uh. No, we have. We have.
Did we?
Yeah. God is watching over us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that one.
Okay.
That was this season.
Okay, yeah. So. Yeah.
Strand of Hair, God is watching over us. We've covered the priest a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, thanks to all the Catholics that have donated to.
Stanford tuition.
Stanford tuition.
I guess like, you know, like, okay, wrestling the mommy like slumber bus back over to our podcast. I guess the other thing that like really strikes me about this is not only like not knowing sometimes what happens to your clients and like those, you know, the sad endings and like, or the like they went and had babies, but also like. This client was very sad and he was obviously a very serious alcoholic. And, you know, we've talked repeatedly about like, and this is something that I saw in your piece that, you know, you were like, that's not like the primary thing that you were writing about, but it's something that I did want to like talk with you about. It's like, you know, this like tension between like you bringing a curated, like polished up EB, like that's like, you know, someone that you can be all the like for an extended period of time and being engaged in their fantasy and making this thing together. But like when a client brings that fantasy too and having to engage with it, like the violin.
Yeah. You know, I think most clients bring like this fantasy version of themselves, like, you know, you're not bringing the lawyer, you know, you're not bringing the husband, like you're bringing the person that you want to be and the person that you want to be seen as. And like that, they're hoping that like, I see that in them and that I can help them be that. You know, like that, like who they are when they're with me is part of the fantasy of who, you know, who I can help them be.
How do you like, and this is a question that you can, you know, I mean, I don't know quite how to ask this. I mean, because it's not intended in a, like, but in a situation like this, how do you manage the dissonance? Like, I play violin for hours every day. That's obviously not true. Like, how do you manage that dissonance? Like,
but for the fantasy, it is.
Okay. Okay. For the fantasy, it's true.
In the room at that moment, you know, who he is when he's with EB and who EB is in the room with him. Like, he is somebody who plays the violin for hours every day. And of course he is. And I'm in the room with a man who plays the violin for hours a day.
That's actually kind of beautiful in a sense, like the idea that you like give someone space to explore not just like physical gratification fantasies, like, you know, I want to touch your butt, but also a space to kind of like explore, like role playing can be a lot of different things and not just porn star role play, but like I can achieve this level of.
I think that everybody who's walking into that room, every client walking into that room is, you know, even if they are just seeking something completely physical, like there's still a mental and emotional fantasy that's involved in that. And like, I still have to indulge that. Like, that's always going to be a part of it. Like, you know, here's a stranger that I have to be, you know, insatiably lustful for.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's not the person that I am before I open the door, because I don't know who's on the other side. So like, you know, I have to, you know, and like when they open the door, like they have to feel like I am.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know, and I can't say I always succeed at it. I can't say that, like, you know, my track record is 100% or that like I'm able to do it. I do my best, you know, I do. And I try, and, you know, I'm awkward and I'm weird and I fumble through it sometimes, but I, you know, like I try to figure out like what it is and be that and like help that person be that. Like, I want you to be the person that you want to be with me. And like, you know, if you are, you know, if you're a lawyer, but like in your fantasy, like you walk into the room and like, you're like, I am an astronaut. Like, okay, you're an astronaut when you're with me. Like, I don't give a, like you, who you are on the other side of that door doesn't matter. You're an astronaut when you're in the room. You're a violinist.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that that's, you know, like a powerful, you know, it really reminds me of the, like the idea of the psychopomp, like the idea that like there's this space that you go to like kind of like work through and experience these things that are like really meaningful to you. And that can be like, meaning can be of different levels. I mean, obviously not everything that happens in a session with a client is, you know, mind bending, like transformative experience, but like there is something like special about like coming into the room and accepting space and then getting to be a rabbit lawyer for like an hour, you know, and it's okay. And I think that's where that piece that comes in at the end when you're talking about like, you gave me a reason to live, and that moment's like, that's where the like the authentic love and a kind of authentic love.
Yeah.
Seems that's where that kind of bridges out.
You know, and in that moment, like, I wanted to be a reason to live for him. But, you know, that reason to live was a fantasy. You know, the reason itself was a fantasy. And, like, I left and I was, like, the fantasy came with me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm sure that everyone who gets to be an astronaut in the room, like, doesn't walk out still an astronaut. Like, they go back to being, you know, a lot of people have to grapple with the fact that, like, okay, now I'm a lawyer who's cheating on my wife. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't play the violin and I don't have a reason to live.
Yeah, but, you know, there's also the emotional impact of, like, knowing that while you were in the room, you were, and that had to impact you. And then when he doesn't live, I'm sure there's like I don't, you know, how do you like that does have an emotional impact.
It does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have to, there's very little I can control, and there's very little I can, you know, about how the universe works. Cause you know, I'm a hooker. I'm not a universe controller. I'm not an astronaut. I have to be grateful for having been, you know, as a reason to live for a couple hours that day. And you know, it's heartbreaking that I couldn't be a reason enough to live to see again. Because yeah. When he said that to me, like, I was like, we have, like, this, he has a reason to live, and I'm going to see him again. And that wasn't the case. And that was hard.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
And as time went on, and just realizing that, like, you know, I was his reason to live. So, of course, he was going to see me again because he was going to keep living. And then realizing, like, I hadn't heard from him. Mm-hmm. And now it's been a year. And now it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
I wasn't the reason I thought I was. I wasn't the reason he thought I was.
Yeah. That was a part of the...
I was the violin.
Mm-hmm. I know we don't usually end on kind of sadder or downer notes. We usually try to like bump it back up with a high point, but that's just such a beautiful, poignant moment that I kind of want to, if you're amenable, I kind of want to stop there.
Sit there.
Yeah, I do. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks for being part of my show.
Yeah.
And welcome to the business.
Thank you. And thank you for being an amazing mentor.
All right.
See you next time.
Next time.